Well, good afternoon and welcome. It is, of course, good to see everybody here again. We're thankful for your presence. Hope you'll take out a Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, as that's where we're going to be focusing this afternoon. Do you know how funny my wife is? She's hilarious. She came up to me and said, one of the problems that she had with my lesson this morning was that I misspelled a word. I misspelled the word relevant, and I didn't fix it. I blame spell check, because I'm pretty sure I had it spelled correctly, and it broke it for me. But what was hilarious was she said, yeah, I made that mistake once in sixth grade. So, yeah, I apologize. It is misspelled. But what I want to talk about is the relevance of the book of Revelation. We've been looking at the book of Revelation in the Sunday morning adult Bible class. And we started in January and we've been digging in. And there's a lot of challenges to this book. And I can tell that some people were frustrated and just weren't getting it and wanted some assistance. And so I present this series to kind of help with it, to go along with that class, to help understand how this book relates to us today. Because one of the things that was emphasized in the class, very appropriately so, is that the book is written to a people nearly 2,000 years ago about something they were facing at that time. The language on that in the book of Revelation is very clear. I don't know why so many people struggle. I kind of do, actually. It's because of the next point, and that is the language. The language is very difficult for us to understand. It starts talking about the earth shaking, the stars falling, and we can't help but think about the end of the world. Since the world hasn't ended, then the book of Revelation must still be yet to come. But that's the problem, is actually us understanding the language. It's language that is accommodative to help us to understand how things feel. Whenever there are great tragedies that occur, if currently there's this fire up in Canada, I almost guarantee you that if you talk to the people that were in that fire area that they're evacuating, they're going to talk about it in terms of it's the end of the world. It felt like the apocalypse. Well, that's because that's exactly how it feels when tragedies occur. And so the apocalyptic language draws on that, and it relates to people how it's going to feel for you. Unfortunately, sometimes we take it too literally, and we have trouble looking at this language and thinking of anything other than the end of the world, when it is in fact not the end of the world. But at any rate, so the book of the Revelation was written to these first century Christians about something they were facing, and that brings us to this great challenge of how then does it relate to us? How is it useful to us today if it's all about them? Well, the first thing we need to understand is we need to not focus on specific interpretations. And we talked about how Jim brought us this long list of various ways that people were looking at just one particular passage. And we are going to get lost if we focus entirely on interpretation. I do want to add one thing, though. And that is, I am thankful for the various interpretations, and I'm glad for our class in which we look at these interpretations. Even if I don't necessarily agree with all of them, because I think Jim and I are going to diverge as we go on, and I'm looking forward to hearing another explanation, another way of looking at things. But I'm thankful that we spend some time interpreting it, because what if we didn't? What if we had out in the world a whole bunch of people that said, this is all talking about modern events. You see this fire in Canada, that's in Revelation 7 or whatever verse they might come up with. Somebody out there's probably done it. Somebody's probably already done that. But what if there's all these people doing that and we say, no, that's not it, but had no alternatives? Well, that would be kind of discouraging. So I'm thankful that there are people that spend some time and look and say, oh, I think this is referring to this. Even if we can't know for certain who's right that's looking at these old fulfillments, it's encouraging to me to think that there are alternatives, there are possibilities. I don't know which one it is, but it's nice. There are many who believe that it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. There are others who believe it's talking about the persecution of Rome to the people in that particular region. I happen to hold to that one, but it is encouraging to me that there are different possibilities. At any rate, so we need to get past just focusing on this interpretation, though, and get into the timeless message of the book of Revelation. I said this morning that I would give 12 points, 12 lessons that I get that are encouraging to me from the book of Revelation. We looked at four. We'll continue with the final eight this afternoon. The first four that I thought, and again, put your mind in their circumstances, and honestly, we're not getting that far from those circumstances today. It feels more and more like the world is closing in on us as Christians, that it is less and less tolerant of us, and that we are getting closer and closer to the day when the world is going to strive to hurt us for what we believe. We're not there yet, but it's getting to where we can see the days that will help us to relate more to them. When the whole world was against them, and it seemed like there was no place to turn, and they had to hide their faith, and they had to hide from the government for fear of persecution, they received this letter. And the first four things that I observed from it is, first of all, that God still rules. The throne scene is a timeless scene. God is still the great conqueror. Jesus is still worthy to purchase the people with His blood and make them His kingdom. We see that God is aware of what is to come, and beyond that, He is in control of what is to come. And then ultimately, what we saw this morning was God is going to be victorious. He will conquer. I would like to add 8 points to that. For these people that are in a difficult, painful, stressful situation, what they observe when they read the book of Revelation and what we should get from it too is first that God still hears His people. When there's no place to turn and nowhere to go for help, and it seems like you're just being neglected and ignored because God's just letting you die in horrible, miserable ways, you get the book of Revelation and it shows us the scene of heaven and it says, here are the prayers of the saints in the presence of God. Repeatedly it does that in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So here, we're all going to fall down, we're going to worship Jesus, but we didn't notice this before, but here's what's been here. They have these bowls of incense, this thing that is producing an aroma in this great judgment throne scene, and that aroma is the prayers of the people on earth, getting into the very presence of God and filling up the air. It is all around. And then Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, we see that now we have the saints who have been already been persecuted and killed, and we see them now at the altar in the very presence of God. And they're crying out in verse 10, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood? And what happens in verse 11? They get an answer. They're going through this turmoil, but they get an answer from God. In chapter 8, and verse 3, once again it says, another angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer, and much incense was given to him so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar which was before the throne. So here, before the throne of God, is your prayer. You lose a job. Something's gone really wrong in your life, and you are in times of despair. You fall down on your knees and you pray, and the book of Revelation says that prayer gets to the presence of God. That's encouraging to me. We get to see our prayers in His presence. In addition to this, what we get is that God is aware of His people. He knows His people. Yes, you may feel like you're alone. You may feel like the world is against you and that God has rejected you because of all the stuff you're going through, but the book of Revelation is saying that's not the case. God is well aware of who you are. And we talked about this in the class not too long ago because people are so familiar with the mark of the beast, in which you have this number that's this mark that's put upon your forehead and it's put upon your hand. There's another mark in the book of Revelation. And it's the mark that God puts on you. Now, we can't see it, but He can. And it's the mark that says, you're one of mine. And I'm not going to allow you to suffer unduly. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. This happens in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. It's this tremendous judgment. And it's saying, who can stand before the judgment of God? And then in chapter 7, God says, hold on, pause, stop. Before we go any further, let's make certain of something. Let's make certain we know who are ours. And so it says, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And so you have this picture of calm all of a sudden. And I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bond servants of our God on their foreheads. And so he's got this spiritual stamp. And he says, hold on, I got to stamp everybody. All the ones that are God's, we're going to put a stamp on their head. I can't see it. You can't see it. But the point of it, the message of it is, God is absolutely aware of those who are His. We saw that in the letters to the churches. I know. I know what you're going through. I know what you have done. I remember the past. I see what the strength that you have, the good things and the bad. God knows His people. More specifically, when I look at the book of Revelation, I see that God knows me. That He knows my circumstance. What I see in addition to this is that God will provide for His people. You know, when the Christians were killed, it just seems like it's the end. And now their body is left to rot. Or perhaps their body is torn to shreds by wild animals. And it just seems like such neglect. God's great, mighty people have fallen at the hands of the enemy and they are just conquered. But that's not the picture we get in the book of Revelation. Yes, some people have fallen. Yes, some people have gone through horrible times to the point of death. But God knows who they are. We looked at Revelation 7, verses 1 through 3. Go further down, and down to verse 9. It says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all the tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, now notice, they're not in misery. They cry out saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from? And it's nice to know that John's in exactly the same situation as us. Here John is seeing this great vision of all these things that are going on, and here's this great huge multitude of people in white, and the elder says, hey, who are they? And he, you know what his answer is? I don't know, you tell me. Hey, I can relate to that. I see this great vision, I don't always understand what it's going on. Somebody needs to explain it. So it's explained to him here. So he says, I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out from the great tribulation. So now here we're looking at the people who have suffered tremendously. And here's the picture of them. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God. And they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tabernacle over them. This is a spiritual hug, bringing them in close into His fold, into His protection. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. You're probably familiar with that from the end of the book of Revelation. It's not just the end, it's the middle and the end. It's telling us you don't lose when they kill you. You win. When you go through that pain and that suffering and that humility, what comes to you on the other side of the veil, when you go into the spiritual realm and you're now in the presence of God, you don't find that you've been neglected or ignored or forgotten. Instead, you find a God who brings His tabernacle over you, brings you in and says, there will no longer be any hunger or thirst or sun beating down on you. Those things are done. You're mine and I will protect and provide for you now. And so the Christians now who are getting this book and know people by name who have died, know they are well taken care of. And it's a good circumstance for them. Additionally, what I see is that you simply are not alone. When I look at the book of Revelation, the people that find themselves in these circumstances so frequently feel alone. I feel a little bit more alone in our country than I used to. I know I'm not. I look out at you and there you are. You're there and we're together and I'm not alone. I know that on the most basic level. But I don't want to get too much into politics. But right now, we have basically a two-party system. And I don't feel like any of the representatives right now remotely stands for something I stand for. That's how I feel. I feel alone. Like the world has chosen people I can't relate to and I can't like. I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone. And even if I feel alone, I'm reminded of the heavenly scenes. And I look at chapter 5 and verse 11. What a scene this must have been for John, who is just, you know, he's currently physically on the island of Patmos. He's in prison. You want to talk about feeling alone? He feels alone because he pretty much is alone. And then he sees this heavenly scene in which he finds the one who is following and all the ones who are following him are gathered together, and it's described like this. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. For John in the island of Patmos, that was the message for him. You are so not alone. Thousands and thousands and thousands are with you, are in agreement with you, are following the same course as you, are following God. You are not alone. I look through the book of Revelation and I find some interesting things. I find interesting lessons. Lessons I don't always know what to do with, but they're truths nonetheless. Here we see God's judgment being thrown down upon the earth, and we see tremendous suffering now occurring to the people that are persecuting Christians, and we find that there's purpose to it. In Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 through 21, if you look at the previous verses when it talks about these four angels bringing upon plagues upon the earth, I don't know what it's talking about. I don't know what specific moment it's talking about. It talks about this idea of brimstone, of fire, of flame. Is it talking about war and soldiers that are coming? Is it talking about volcanic eruptions that are destroying entire cities? I don't know. But I know this. When it's all said and done and a lot of people have died, he looks back and he says, but here's what I've been waiting for and I don't get it. I'm waiting for people to repent. So it says in verse 20, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and of silver and of brass and of stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their numbers, of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immorality, nor of their thefts. And so I see a very wicked society, and God has brought judgment upon them and waited for them to repent. And I don't know, because I don't have the insight to know what things that happen around us, what natural calamities or what wars are truly from God's presence, but I recognize from the book of Revelation this truth. Sometimes horrible things happen because God wants you to get off the course you're on. Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we look at those people and say they're all crazy. You know, they say when New Orleans had the Hurricane Katrina and people said it's a call from God to repent. They may be crazy, but you know what? They could also be right. We have to stop, and when bad things happen, we have to think, are we living the way we should live? Do we need to change? Book of Revelation shows me that. In addition, and this is important, it shows me that we don't always know. And that's okay. So in the book of Revelation, God is revealing, here's what I'm doing, all these things he's doing, right? And then he stops showing them. So Revelation chapter 10 and verse 4, John gets to see something and he's not allowed to show it to us. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, And I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he was about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished as he preached to his servants, the prophets. So there they find out something about the prophecies of the Old Testament. Something else is happening. He says, I heard something. I got ready to write it. I wanted to tell you. And God said, no. You know what? I learned that sometimes we aren't told what's going to happen. That should be really obvious, but it's comforting for me to be reminded of that message. In addition, we see that the battle, the struggle we're facing is spiritual in nature. We saw that this morning in our Bible class when it talked about you're going to be thrown in prison, but it was very clear. It did not say you're going to be thrown in prison by the local governor or by the Caesar. Instead, it says the devil is going to throw some of you in prison. We find out that it's a spiritual war we're involved in. We're not fighting against the Supreme Court, against the governors, or against the presidents. We're not fighting against those things in this country. We're fighting against the spiritual forces behind that. We're fighting against the devil and the things that he is trying to accomplish. And so you will see this in Revelation chapter 12. It shows us finally we see the serpent, we see Satan. And we see his activities. And he is so upset at what happens. He gets kicked out of heaven. He comes on earth and he makes war. He loses and he gets so upset that he makes war again. But that's what we're seeing is it's Satan who's fighting. It is Satan who is upset. And it is Satan that we are fighting against. And we're reminded of Ephesians chapter 6 and the previous sermons that we had in the last few weeks. And that is that God has armed us against the spiritual warfare we're involved in. And the final thing, and you might notice, there's probably more than 12 points that you could learn from the book of Revelation. I'm just giving you a sampling, a picture of things that I get when I look at this that encourage me and help me. And the last thing, and whenever I run into passages that are difficult, that I'm struggling to understand, I simplify things and look for this. What's expected of me? What am I supposed to do here? And the book of Revelation has one message from beginning to end, over and over again, and that is for us, we must overcome. No matter how difficult life gets, no matter how challenging it becomes in our society, God has an expectation that we will stand firm and not quit. And if we will overcome, then God makes a promise after promise after promise after promise that he will give us tremendous blessings, spiritual blessings, eternal life. It will all be worth it. The book of Revelation is a message that, yes, you guys are going to go through additional hard times, but if you overcome. And so in the letters to the churches, again and again and again, at the end of the letters, it is, if you overcome, I will give you this. When you get to the very end of the book, in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 7, this is the picture we're more familiar with, as it gives what I believe is a picture of heaven and God in our presence and us in his presence. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The ultimate message of the book of Revelation isn't about the plagues. It isn't about the wars. It's about a call for us to not quit, to not give in to the challenges we're going to face. I don't know what challenges you and I are going to face, but I get this feeling. Take it for what it's worth. But it feels like there are more challenges headed our way. And the book of Revelation calls upon us today, as it has called upon every generation since it has been written, overcome. Overcome the challenges you will face, and God will reward you tremendously. So I read the book of Revelation, and I find it to be very encouraging. In some ways, we think of the book of Revelation as really complicated. And in some ways, we've got it backwards. The book of Revelation is kind of the simpler book of the New Testament. It is the picture book without pictures. In the book of Revelation, we aren't told, you can go to heaven if you do what's right. We're shown it. We're shown the pictures and the images so that we can not just understand this intellectually, but we can feel it on an internal, deep level. This type of confidence and comfort that God intends for us to have. We aren't simply told these truths, we're shown them. And our imaginations are stirred and our comfort becomes more vividly alive and real. And that's what the book of Revelation is supposed to do. It is supposed to hit us deep inside our heart and to say, this is worth it. And to imagine what it's like to be in the very presence of God. And to hear Him say, well done. And to see Him show us a world in which there is no pain and no sorrow and no death and only life and joy and light. And we go through the book of Revelation, those last few chapters and the pictures of heaven, and it is supposed to excite our imagination. The book of Revelation is our picture book. It's the book that shows us the behind the scenes. It shows us the spiritual realm. It shows us our challenges. And it shows us our victory. And it's supposed to really be helpful. So if you're going through the book of Revelation and you're in the Sunday morning class and you're sitting there saying, I'm so confused right now. I don't understand which interpretation we're supposed to get to. Well, spend some time thinking about the interpretations, but take a moment and step back and say, yes, but what am I supposed to really get from this? What is the real message? The real comfort, the real joy, the real strength. And once you've got that hold on to again, then get back in and look at the interpretations and work on that as best as you can. I hope that this lesson is fruitful to you, that it is beneficial. I hope that we will have a better understanding of this great message. If we don't understand the book of Revelation, it's kind of a sad thing, really. There's God holding this scroll, and John finds nobody can open it. And what's his thought? He weeps. It's kind of sad then if we have been given the opened scroll and we're just not even willing to look into it to learn the great messages and comfort that God has given us. If there are any here who are not Christians, we give you an opportunity to become one, to join God's side in His victory. If you will just confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins, you will have a great hope. A relationship with God that is broken at the very beginning of the Bible is pictured as restored at the very end of the Bible. The tree of life that we lose access to in the Garden of Eden is found once more in the book of Revelation, and we have free access to it. This is fixing everything that was broken before. And we encourage you to take the action to restore that relationship with God right now. And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away, once again, we're reminded of Jesus calling upon us to repent, to change. He waits. He wants you to answer. And so do we. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?